If there's one thing I've always loved, it's cooking myself a good meal. And I mean a really good meal. But I gotta say, lately I've been so busy, I think I'm just running out of ideas. I always go to the store and I'm so overwhelmed. I mean, do I want a zucchini or a cucumber? Do I want this? Do I want that? Not to mention, I don't know how fresh these ingredients are, and I'd like to know that I'm eating quality food. HelloFresh gets me right out of that cooking rut. It takes the guesswork out of meal planning, and there's over 40 recipes to choose from every single week. Not to mention, the produce is farm to door for peak ripeness for a bunch of different chef-crafted recipes. So come on, what are you waiting for? Go to HelloFresh.com/50Shadow and use code 50Shadow for 50% off plus free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/50Shadow. Use code 50Shadow for 50% off plus free shipping to receive America's number one meal kit.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Hello everyone, this is Renita Ahura, creator of Shadow Realm and the Aria Chronicles series. Today, I will be delving into the mythology woven into the story and its characters. So, what is the Ramayana and what is its importance? The Ramayana is one of the ancient epics of India, 24,000 verses in 7 cantos. All of this is written in Sanskrit verse. It dates back to about 500 to 100 BC. And then there are mentions of some of these characters in texts that are older, perhaps, than the epics. So who knows? The Ramayana has many different versions. Not that the story changes entirely, but the flavor is different. Much as you might find differences in food or culture or dances, cuisine takes on the flavor of the local area. Similarly with this story. Once the Ramayana and certainly the other stories of Indian literature were documented from oral to written form, there were many versions found in household manuscripts in households across South Asia. Sage Valmiki's version was the most commonly known, the most popular across the span of South Asia. The story really comes back to the basic truth that each one of us is responsible for our acts, good acts, bad acts, and everything else that follows from there. In very simple words, karam, or what we call in the West, karma, right? What goes around comes around. To each action, there will be a reaction. To me, this is about the choices that Ram has to make when he fights with Ravan and eventually kills him. This, to me, is the key takeaway and really the essence of what Arya can learn from Prince Ram. Ravan has 10 heads. And when Prince Ram comes face to face with him, he realizes very quickly that, you know, the moment he knocks off one head, another one grows in its place. You can call that karmic retribution. Evil never ends. It's hard to completely destroy it. And your best shot at destroying it is really if you attack it at its core. And as to what Arya can learn from that, if you want to really do away with evil, and remember, you can never quite do away with evil because if you did, then good would have no meaning, right? But if you want to vanquish your demons, then you have to attack them at your core. For Arya, The core is his shadow self, this angry, rebellious, awful teenager that he was or that he could continue to be if he allows Ravan to control him. Who is the most difficult person to kill? Of course, yourself. But that is the only way you are going to be able to attack your demon at your core. And this is what Arya has to learn from Ram. In many ways, as the creator, the writer of this story, my journey mirrors that of Arya. The idea of vanquishing my demons at the core is a very important one to me, and certainly I have many demons. Have had, and I'm sure will continue to have. So I know that if I need to, I need to aim to do so by addressing them at their core. As an Indian, we all have personal connections to the story of the Ramayana. We just grow up with this, and it impacts us probably at every level of life, how we live, our festivals, our methods of worship, our storytelling traditions, the literatures you study in school, the moral principles that you are imbibed with. But for me, I had a little bit of a different take on a personal connection, because when I was living in San Francisco as a mother of young children, I was taking a course in Sanskrit at UC Berkeley because I was an Ayurveda clinician, and it was very important for me to continue to be able to read the Ayurvedic texts, which were all written in Sanskrit. Sanskrit is the kind of language where if you do not use it, you will lose it. It was taught by Professor Sally Goldman. What I found in one of her classes, however, was that we were studying the Ramayana, and specifically the Sundarkand chapter. Prince Ram meets with the Vanars, and the Vanars prepare to come face to face with Ravan and his demon army. And I fell in love with the idea of the Vanars. The descriptions were particularly fascinating because everything was interpreted from Sanskrit. There is no translation. The words that are actually used to translate from Sanskrit to English are limited. Any particular scene could be described in so many different ways. Suffice it to say, I just fell in love with this chapter. And I would come home from UC Berkeley, and in the evenings, I would sit with my kids and relate to them the stories of the Sundarkand. And my son, in particular, he was 3 years old at the time, really fell in love. He was enraptured by these stories. And I saw very quickly that he really couldn't distinguish between Hanuman and Spider-Man or Batman. To him, they were all superheroes, and he saw them all in the same light. And that really got me thinking. And I think that's really what birthed the idea of what eventually became Shadow Realm. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope you enjoyed learning all about the mythology that inspired Shadow Realm. Thank you.